Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. It's great to have you here on this Friday afternoon. Well, if you're a parent, have you ever talked to your kids about sex, about purity, about waiting to have sex as God designed it to be so? Do you find it hard to do that? I may find it hard to say it on the radio, but we're going to talk about that today because we have an expert in the studio today to talk to us about God's purpose for marriage and his design for sex and how exactly we do that as parents. So get ready for a great show. Let me tell you about my guest today and we will get her on right away. Abby Ludvigsen earned a degree in elementary education from Gustavus Adolphus College right here in Minnesota. But while teaching in the public school, she discovered she had this deeply rooted desire to better understand issues bombarding teens and young people today. So she joined the Navigators, which is an urban ministry that invests more deeply in the lives of parents and youth. And using her background in teaching, she now creates curriculum on sexual purity that she delivers at universities, in schools, and churches around the upper Midwest. And in 2015, she produced a film series called Sex by Design. We'll hear more about that, as well as a new book that she has contributed to with Dr. Julie Slattery called Sex and the Single Girl. You can learn more about Abby on her website, abbyludvigsen.com, which we'll also put on our website at myfaithradio.com. Welcome, Abby.
Thank you.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here today. Can you tell me, I know I read your bio really fast, but tell me how you came to commit your life to be sexually pure, even as a very young person.
Yeah. Well, God gripped my heart when I was young, and I was about 12 years old, and went through a True Love Waits campaign that was really popular in the 90s. And some people, I think, bash that today, kind of like, you know, there's an agenda behind it. But for me, it was such a conviction deep in my heart. And God just set me apart from that time on. And I found myself as I got older talking to my friends and counseling them after they would make choices they regretted. And the older I got, the more I got a platform to be able to share this. And God opened doors when I was about 17 to begin to do youth communicating. I was a youth talking to my peers. But when I spoke on sexuality, that's when they got most interested. And that's when I came most alive. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, my story is pretty simple of just at that young age of 12, making the decision, I'm going to wait for my husband. Now, I never imagined it would take 23 years to meet my holy hunk. But it was worth it. And the more I went throughout like my 20s and early 30s, the more God just cemented that in me. Like, this is what I have designed you for. And you deserve a man that's willing to wait for you and that you're willing to wait for him. So the more I speak, I feel like God just roots it deeper into my soul, the importance of it and being able to be a role model for young people. The older I've gotten has just been really a gift to me because I've been able to show them that it's possible and you can still be cool and hip and have a great life, but choosing to do things God's way.
Well, that must have been a very difficult message to hold on to even as you started college. Even though you went to a small college here in Minnesota, it doesn't really matter where you are, does it? The message is the same. And what you're talking about was countercultural to that message.
Oh, yes. And you're right. I mean, it doesn't matter Christian, non-Christian, urban, rural. It doesn't matter. Like, we all struggle. And on some level, we all have a distorted view of sexuality. So it's coming back to the Word of God. It's coming back to His truth. And one of the best things that helped me throughout these last 25, I'm 37 now, but the last 25 years has been mentorship. And those people saying to me, Abby, you're on the right path. Because you doubt yourself when you're young, you're off at college, you're trying to find your wings. And I remember the gal who started mentoring me at 17, she stuck with me till I was 22. And she was the one that both saw the gift to communicate, but also knew I was set apart and really helped me hold to that when I was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I don't like going upstream. This is a lot of work. And she would talk me off the ledge, as well as my parents. My parents were that built-in mentorship since I was born. And so that's why I've just become so passionate about equipping adults, because that's what made the difference in my life. No, it's not my own self-control. It's not the fact that I was a firstborn and I follow all the rules, mm-hmm. you know. It was the fact that God, first and foremost, planted that in my heart. And you know, when God speaks to you, somebody could say the same thing and it doesn't matter. It doesn't have that same effect. But when God speaks it, and then he watered that seed through discipleship, through mentorship in my life. And the more I went through life, the deeper that conviction became. And that's what a conviction is, a belief that you repeat over and over again to the point where it's like, my goodness, you could give me $1 million and Brad Pitt, who was, you know, more of the hunk when I was growing up, could walk in the room and say, you know, I'll sleep with you, Abby, and I'll even give you $1 million. And no, no, thank you. Flattering, but no, thank you. You know, so just that's what we need to build in our young people, is that conviction that will stand the test of time, and especially in the culture our kids are raised in today. It wasn't even like that back in 92 when I signed that pledge.
So you went and you started teaching in the public schools, and you found that this message was really not communicated the way that you had heard it. So tell me about how that kind of fueled a passion to even invest more time and resources in trying to mentor young kids.
Yeah, I knew from a young age I wanted to be a teacher. My dad's a teacher. My mom's a teacher. My brother's a teacher. It's like in the genes. And I love it. I love inspiring them and believing in them and equipping them. So I was a history teacher. I was an eighth grade ancient history of all forms of history. And I was loving the kids. And that was just my vehicle by which to communicate with them. And but I found that really they needed a role model that could speak on things that really publicly it's more challenging to do. And I didn't know how God was going to do that. I did it a lot at night. I would go speak at churches and such. But I didn't know how he could use me in a different way. So I kept teaching. I loved it. But he eventually just knew that I'm willing to talk about the hard things. I'm willing to talk about the taboo topics. And I'm willing to be sensitive to his spirit, to say it in a way that is both God-honoring but also raw and true. And so I feel like he plucked me out of the teaching realm. And that broke my heart because I just love it. But I knew he would take. He never wastes a thing. So he took all those skills and he puts it to use in my curriculum writing when I stand and deliver to 400 kids. You can use a lot of that classroom management there. But I knew he wanted me to expand that conversation. And it was one in such, I could do one by one, kid by kid, but I really wanted to equip more lives.
So we're going to hear more from Abby. We have to take a quick break. But what we're going to do when we come back is hear, how did Abby begin to communicate that message to young people as well as to their parents? And how does culture's view of sexuality differ from God's biblical truth on what his plans were for sex and are and continue to be? We'll have that conversation with Abby Ludvigsen when we come back on Connecting Faith.
Darling, wait for me to wait for me as I wait for you, 'cause I am waiting.
Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. Thanks for joining us today. Well, today my guest is Abby Ludvigsen. She is a speaker. She is a curriculum creator and also an author. She speaks and creates curriculum on sexual purity and how to live out our lives with the truth that God has given us from the very beginning. Abby, one of the things that you talk about is how the culture lies to us about what sex is and what our role is in sex. How does that counteract what biblical truth has to say about it?
That's a great question, Joe. There's so much we could talk about. If I were to slim it down, I would say the culture sees sex as a consumer product, and God sees it as a covenantal promise. So when we compare those two, there's huge differences, ripple effects that will affect people and their choices depending on what worldview they have. So when we talk about a consumer product, consumerism is all about what you can get and getting the latest and the greatest. And, you know, I have an iPhone 6. Well, that's not good enough. I need the iPhone 7, the 7S, the 8, the 8, you know. It's just nonstop. And it's all about what fulfills me, what's satisfying for me, what's the shiniest product on the shelf. And if it doesn't perform, if it doesn't meet your really insatiable desires, then you toss it aside and you move on to the next product. And I see that a lot in young people. I see it in the way that they view their bodies, how they see their body as really a product to allure and draw in somebody. And we use products for a goal with an agenda in mind. And so we see young people using their bodies, using their clothing and attire that way. We see young adults really cohabitating. It's very, very popular. Right? It's okay. I need to see if you meet my needs before I'll make a promise. Oh, nope, it doesn't work. Throw that one aside, move on to the next. It's very much a consumer product mentality. But when we look at the biblical truth, God says this is a covenantal promise. It's not just a promise. This is a covenant. A covenant is a contract between you and the God Almighty. And if we take him seriously, this means it's a cherished, honored, respected, private, but sacred piece of our life. And we make a promise to God like I did. I know I was only 12, but I made that promise to God and a covenant with him. So I knew every time a great looking guy came along, every time I wanted to wear maybe a short shirt, I would think, okay, what did I agree to with God? And then ultimately, even though I didn't know my husband till 2 years ago, what was I saying to him? What promise was, I really believed I made that promise to him at 12. And I wanted to be a faithful person. And so when we look at the culture, it's very much a drive-by. It's very much a quick fix, hook up. We see that culture in the college realm so much. We see it in the world in general. And the sad part is we see it amongst our Christian young people. There is no differentiation between the two.
So as you're talking to young people about what God really has to say to them about sex and their own bodies and this gift that they have that he's given them, where do you start?
I start with humor.
Because then they listen.
Right. They are skeptical. Whether they're 12 or 22.
Sure.
They kind of look at me like, oh boy, we got to have this talk. And sadly enough, the Christian community, especially, you know, within the churches or private schools, they feel like they're beat up over the head with that. Oh, here comes another one. So I try and take them off guard. And humor relaxes people. Humor, you know, lets the brain start flowing and information start going in. And so when I was single up until 2 years ago, I would use a line. I remember being at Bethel University and saying, right out of the chute, "Hi, my name is Abby. And I'm a virgin." And then like long pregnant pause. And they were all like, "Hi," you know, to the world, I must have introduced myself. "Hi, my name is Abby and I'm a freak." "Hi, Hi, my name is Abby, and I'm boring. Hi, my name is Abby. And I would go around and I'd shake kids' hands, and they get the point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think starting with humor, starting with the personal, what has given me the ability to relate to the inner city kids. I've taught at Hope Academy, to the rural kids, to the suburban kids, is being able to be personal with them and build a relationship. Maybe I have 45 minutes with them, but I'm going to go around, get to know their names before I start. Then I'm going to call them by their name, and they're going to look at me like, wow, she remembered me. I'm going to break them down that way so that they can begin to trust me. And that correlates with parents. It's like if you're just talking about what their homework is, or, you know, you're just nitpicking how they made their bed. You know, if you're not having broad, robust conversations, how can we get into these kind of sensitive topics? I'm also very passionate about, if you couldn't tell, about what I do. And so transferring that, like these kids are convinced that I really do believe this. I was at Anoka High School, one of the most liberal schools, and it was like going into the lion's den. I had 2 days in their abstinence health class, and I couldn't talk about God, but I could talk about the science and the facts, which is so God-driven anyway. And I remember the first day, the kids just sitting back kind of like, who do you think you are? Like, you've got to be kidding me. Really? And I dealt with that judgment, right? But I was okay with it because I knew building that relationship, being personal, staying passionate to who I was. And really, that helped me because the second day, they were leaning forward in their chairs. They were asking questions. I remember a young girl coming up to me and saying, you know, my mom said when I turned 16, I could have sex. I said, really? Okay. She goes, but now after hearing you, I've decided I'm going to wait till I'm in love. And I was like, okay, well, that wasn't exactly where I was headed, but it's a better step.
Right.
You know, and in the public realm, I was going to take that as success. So being passionate, being personal, being prepared, knowing my stuff. And that's a big piece that I'm passionate about, is helping parents know their stuff, know what they believe, so that they can have these conversations. And then I just take in the humor. I take in those relational skills, and then I put the word of God in there, and it's just ignited. And they really don't see it as a cliche thing like, oh, yeah, yeah, you know, wait, don't do it. But we talk about the deeper issues of life.
So when you're talking to teens just about what God's plan is for them, I noticed that in a lot of what you've written, you talk a lot about the acceptance that they can find in Christ that they can't find in this cultural idea of what it means to be loved. Is that something that you talk about a little later in the conversation? And is that something where it really clicks with them? Tell me more about how you really get that message across.
I know. Identity in Christ is everything. I think a lot of it comes through my personal story. I share, you know, how I had dated a lot of guys, and I had to say goodbye to a lot of guys, and, you know, guys said goodbye to me, and friends were looking at me like I stepped off a UFO, and coworkers were like, oh my gosh, like, who is this gal? And continually I had to come back to, who am I? Where am I headed? I'm living for an audience of one, like Sarah Groves likes to say. And honestly, it's very hard to get to that identity piece in a 45-minute presentation. So my ministry began off of that, youth groups and such, but it became hollow to me because I knew I wasn't getting to the deeper things. And so I began to teach in the schools. So I developed in private schools a curriculum, and I was their purity teacher, right? Here comes the purity lady, they would say. And we loved our relationships together. And that was when I could start to talk about, this is not satisfying. You could have this. I could have this. I could go out today and have that. But will it fill me? No. We are broken cisterns that need a mighty God to come in and heal us. And only He can do that. Your boyfriend can't? Will he be around in a year? My husband can't even. Nobody can. So drip feeding those, you can't bang it over their head. It really has to be something that is developed, and you're living that too, mm-hmm. in your own personal walk. And then I went past developing curriculum in school to, okay, I need to talk to the parents. Mm-hmm. I need to get to the person who is the most influential.
Tell me about your own parents and how they were influential in this whole journey for you.
Well, my mom is my best friend, and my dad's my hero. So between your best friend and your hero, you are just protected on every side. And I like to compare it. It's a simple comparison, but to going to the grocery store. The cardinal rule is do not go to the grocery store hungry.
Mm,
right?
Yes, that's a good rule.
Or you'll come back with a lot more than you bargained for.
And you'll eat most of it on the way home.
That's right. That's right. And it's the same with the family. Don't send your children out hungry and starved for love, or they're going to come back with a lot more than they bargained for. And so my mom was always, she and I very much alike, so she would just take me under her wing. And anytime I had a question or concern, it was this open conversation. And she and I would do devotions together, and we'd read books together. And we were just like two peas in a pod. And even when I would get snarky and, you know, that teenagery stuff, it wasn't perfect by any means, but she would not waver. That woman would go to the end. She didn't give in. She didn't give up. Mm. And my dad, he was the hardworking man, the most hardworking person I've ever known, besides my husband, those two men. And he would provide, and he would come home, and he would wrap his big arms around me. And the older I got and the more I stayed single, I remember one day he said to me, Abby, I am the man in your life until your husband comes along. Mm. I will protect you. I will come and fix everything at your house that you need help with. He said, I am that figure. And that is so true. The father has this extra little dose of influence in their child's life, boy or girl. And so being that hero, being their first love, really. Mm. And at my wedding reception, I said, you know, Dad, I was single this long partially because of you. It's your fault. And he kind of looks at me startled. I said, you set the bar so high. And I see the way you love Mom. I had to keep to that standard. I knew it was possible. And so that is the influence that they've had. She being, you know, not just my best friend, but my mentor, and him being that first love and that hero. That combination is quite powerful, along with their love for the Lord and guiding us in that biblical truth.
So you've created quite a bit of resources as well as information. You've created curriculum for parents as well, where they can come and hear you speak, that have to do with their role in this process on helping your child commit to purity. So when we come back, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'd love if you would talk about those resources and then just let the parents who are listening today know how they can be part of this process, how it's essential for them to be part of this process. And Abby also has some things she's going to give away. So stay tuned. We'll be back on Connecting Faith to talk more with Abby Ludvigson and sexual purity and your teen and young adult coming up on Connecting Faith. To Connecting Faith. Thanks so much for joining us today. My guest is Abby Ludvigson, and she talks about sexual purity with your kids, my kids, and young adults who are trying to examine and understand God's plan for their life as it applies to sex and marriage. Well, parents play a huge role in equipping their kids to be able to stand up to what culture says and stand in what God says, don't they, Abby?
Mm-hmm. And more of an influence than they think they have.
Because sometimes we feel like, oh, they won't listen to what we have to say. But you're saying that they actually do.
And that will give you mixed messages, as you well know. It's like they're pushing you away, but they're asking you to come near at the same time. And Joe can see what I'm doing right now, but I have my hand out. But then my other hand, I'm saying, come to me. Mm. And just as my parents did, they didn't stop coming towards me. It wasn't forceful, but it was fearless. Mm. If you've seen the movie Courageous, the intro, I'm always looking at things through the lens of biblical sexuality. And I was like, okay, how can I translate this to parents? Well, it's a great intro where the father has his little baby boy in the back seat, and you don't know that. As he's driving, he comes to a gas station and he fills up and he walks away from his vehicle. And this guy hijacks his truck and takes over the truck, and he is fearless. He jumps on the side. He's, you know, and they show this whole scene of where he's trying to hold on. The guy's trying to punch him and all this. Well, finally, he has enough influence on the hijacker that the hijacker runs into a tree and gets out of the vehicle, drives away. And you see the dad on the ground, and he's crawling towards his truck. And you don't know this at the time that there's a baby back there, but he opens the door and the baby's screaming. And everybody in the room is crying. I made that mistake of showing it to a group of pregnant women one time. And they were like weeping. And my point is, are you going to hold on to the wheel?
Mm. As for your children. Right.
That's right. Because the culture would love to hijack their worldview, hijack their identity, hijack where they find who they are, and feed them all these messages that aren't biblical. So being fearless, being willing to hold on no matter what it takes, the sacrifice, you know, his legs are like dragging on the cement, like he's willing to give his life. What are we willing to give up? Very likely not your toes, right?
Right.
But like, what
but you
is,
would for your kids.
You
and
would.
You do wonder when you're watching that scene, why didn't he just let his car go? Because
exactly.
You don't know that his child is there. And I do sometimes think about that. Well, what's the worst that would happen if I bring up a conversation? He'll
right.
say he doesn't want to talk to me, but I've still tried and I will continue to try.
That's right.
Rather than avoiding it.
Yes. And it's showing that this is a topic that is serious enough that mom and dad are going to bring it up multiple times. Mm-hmm. It's going to be part of the culture of our home.
Right. So tell me about, you've created some great resources. You also do some speaking to parents, but I have a nice stack of resources here that Abby has created. Why don't you tell me a little bit about them? And then if you're listening and you are a parent and you want to get a hold of some of these, you can give us a call here at Faith Radio, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Carissa can answer your calls and put you on a little drawing for the end of the show. And we can get some of those resources in your hand. But Abby, why don't you tell us about them?
Sure. So the first one is called Sex by Design, Unpacking the Purpose and Practice of Purity. So what is the purpose and how do I practice that? A lot of times we try to move right to the practice. Do, 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 don't, don't. But the purpose is what gives us that conviction. So helping our kids understand this. So when I was out speaking, doing seminars for parents, I remember a couple of them coming up after my presentation, an hour and a half long. I gave them tons of resources they could turn to and tips and all this stuff. And they looked at me and they said, would you come home with me and talk to my kid? Like, and there was this little bit of like hope that I would say yes to them. And of course, the answer was always no. But over and over, I continually felt still hollow. Even though I'm talking to parents, they still felt, yeah, how do I do this? The awkwardness. I think that's what holds people
back. Sure, they want someone else to do it for them. They may sign their child up for a seminar rather than having the conversation, even though they have all of those resources inside of them.
That's right. And we don't trust ourselves enough. So that began the journey in 2012 to create a resource that would empower parents. So Sex by Design is designed to be a discipleship tool that parents can use in their home. Mm. That's the way it's ideally set up. You can do like a mom and daughter group. You could take it to your youth group. You could take it to your homeschool co-op, whatever you want. But our vision was you would sit shoulder to shoulder with your kiddo. Ages 12 to 15 was our target. Now, we've used it on high schoolers, college students have used it, but our target was 12 to 15. And you sit down and you watch Abby. Abby speaks for 20, 25 minutes. So in a sense, I'm going home with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you turn to each other. You have a guidebook. They have their own guidebook. And you begin discussing what you heard. And there's question upon question. And my teaching background takes the different levels of learning from the head to the heart to the feet. What do I think? What do I believe? And how do I live that out? And so when we beta tested this, parents were like, oh my gosh, it's so comprehensive. I said, yes, good. Because I don't want you to take the 7 lessons and go through it in 7 weeks and then put it away. Mm. I want you to use this for years. If it takes you 6 months to spend time on the first lesson, that's good. You want to saturate your kid in this. You want to drip feed this truth, not just once.
Well, I'm guessing there will be situations that come up in their lives, and I'm only guessing that because that's what happened to me as a teenager. Different situations will come up where I may have forgotten what I had learned last year or the year before last week. And then yeah. The parents are able to return to the resource, and you have a lot of even great answers in the parent section. So you're that's giving right. us not only our own experience, but a lot of great ways to answer them as well.
That's right. And your kid is going to go through so many different phases and stages as they grow up, and they'll be able to hang this information on new life experiences. So this was meant to be a way for you to feel empowered and equipped to get into the weeds, to get into those deeper, courageous conversations and actually have content. Because a lot of parents are like, well, what do I say after I say what I got to say?
Right.
Like, how do I keep saying what I need to say, but not bang it over their head? This will give you so many different angles. I wrote a Bible study for each lesson. There's books I recommend, articles. Oh my goodness, so much on my website too. So even if you didn't buy the product, you could go on the website and start to get a feel and download all those resources. But it's intended to really empower you. My job is to assist you so that you can assist your kid.
So some parents will say, some of my friends have said, well, how do I have a conversation with kids needing to wait to have sex until they're married when I did not do that?
Oh, yes.
How do you suggest that those parents can have those conversations?
That is the infamous question. That is the one I get the most often. And I think it's the one the enemy uses to paralyze us more than anything. But as we look in the Bible and we see all these different people in the Bible and how imperfect they were, God still used them. He used them mightily. I mean, you look at David, a man after God's own heart, and he committed adultery and murdered this woman's husband. Like, you look at these people and he wants to use them because they have a story to tell. Mm. So I would say to parents, you are not disqualified. Actually, you are so qualified. You can say, I've been down that road, and trust me, you don't want to go there. And you don't have to tell them a lot. I think it takes a lot of discretion to know how much your kid can handle. Mm. And sometimes if they ask you a question about your story, you can say, you know what, buddy? I think you're a little too young for that right now. We can have that conversation when you're older. Not saying you'll never talk about it. But you know what? I think that might be more information than you need right now. Mm-hmm. For now, you need to know that mom regrets some of her decisions. And the last thing she wants is for you to have that same regret. Mm-hmm. So really praying through that and asking the Spirit to lead you to know when. I remember asking my mom, did you have sex before you were married? Did Dad have sex before he was married? And I remember her vividly saying, well, you know what? You're going to have to ask your dad that. I didn't ask my dad that. But it really, you know, it required me to go to him.
Sure.
And have that conversation if I really wanted to know. So being discerning to know what is my child prepared for, but knowing most of all that I have a story to tell. And it's cliche, but it's the doggone truth.
Well, it's your story. And my story is my story. And yes. Our kids can't really argue with that.
And he wants to take that mess, all the things you learned, and make it into a powerful message.
Well, if you think about it and all of the other things we try to help our kids do as parents, you know, we tell them, don't run across the street when a car is coming. Don't put your hand in fire. I mean, then it would be even more impactful if I had put my hand in fire and was able to say, don't put your hand in the fire. It really hurts when you put your hand in the fire. Don't run across the street because I got hit by a car. And those things are okay. Why wouldn't we apply the same kind of logic to saying, don't have sex before you find and get married? even if we already had, we're still not disqualified, like you said, from having that conversation. It's just an interesting, it's an interesting kind of shameful way that, like you said, the enemy just attaches to parents to keep them from having that conversation with their kids, and when we should actually do the opposite.
And I think you hit on it perfectly, shame-based. Everything around sexuality is shame-based, and that's the enemy's way of keeping us from the glory and beauty and true purpose of sexuality. Because sexuality is so much more than the physical. It's emotional. It's relational. It's spiritual. It is meant, that's a deep thought here, but it's meant to be a reflection of the glory of God. It's meant to show you the kind of, like I said earlier, covenantal promise and love that can only point us to God. Like, to have a tangible example on earth of that kind of love. Wouldn't the enemy love to keep us from that? Mm-hmm. And so the way he does it is he makes it awkward, or he makes it uncomfortable for parents, or they have pain in their past that they haven't looked at. Or, God, they believe, but where in Scripture does it say this? And so they're not prepared. So my biggest encouragement to parents is to dig into the Word of God. Start in Genesis 1 and 2, where it talks about the design and then how we fell and how we need redemption. All of us need redemption. And then get into 1 Corinthians 6 and 1 Thessalonians 3. Like, get into those passages. And if you need more of them, I got a long list of them. Mm-hmm. But start to build your conviction so that you can pass that conviction on to your kid.
So you can find out more about Abby on her website, which is abbyludvigsen.com. We'll also have a link to her website on ours at byfaithradio.com. And if you'd like to get your hands on some of these great resources that Abby's created, you can give us a call at 877-933-2484. Otherwise, you can just go directly to our website, myfaithradio.com. Click on Connecting Faith. You can submit your name and your contact information that way, and we will give these away at the end of the show. We're going to be back with Abby in just a few minutes. Thanks for listening to Connecting Faith.
There's nothing to do.
Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for listening. We just have a great program today listening to Abby Ludvigsen. Abby speaks all over the place on sexual purity to teens, to young adults, and to parents on how we can communicate this wonderful plan that God has for sex in our own lives and how we as parents can really engage our kids in these conversations, because we want our teens to know Christ and come to know him more fully. And this is just one opportunity to do so. Abby has several different resources available on her website, which is abbyludvigsen.com, but she's also giving away Sex by Design and workbooks that go along with it. You can give us a call at 877-933-2484 and get your name on a list for one of those. Abby, one of the things that you mention in your materials is sexual discipleship. How is that different from sex ed?
Great question. This concept comes from Dr. Julie Slattery, who I've been able to work closely with, and I've been praying for a career mentor for quite some time. As I've talked about, those kind of people have had a huge influence in my life, and she has that in the area of sexuality. So she's written a lot of books. She's, you know, a psychologist, a theologian. She's amazing. And she really showed me this contrast, sex education compared to sexual discipleship. When you think of sex education, you think of knowledge, information. Important. But it's very much contained and controlled by a time of the day, during the week, you're in class, or I'm going to sit down with my kid and I'm going to talk to them about sex. And it has this start and this finish to it. When you think about sexual discipleship, which is a radical concept, it's quite different. It's out of the box. It's any time of day. It's what they live, eat, breathe. And when you think about, like, learning a foreign language, Julie likes to say this, I took 4 or 5 years of Spanish. And all I can say is, ¿dónde está el baño?
Mm.
Or, me llamo Evita, ¿y tú? You know? And I remember going to Costa Rica in college. And I was the one that knew the most Spanish of the three girls that were living at this house with me. And it was the hardest to communicate. And that's because it was education. It had a start and a stop. And I didn't have the real life practical examples. If I had been immersed in a Spanish culture for 6 months to a year, I would have lived, ate, and breathed it. What a difference. And it would just flow out of me. I might even start dreaming about it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you compare that to sex education, sure, we can talk to our kids. We can check it off the list. We can let the church do the annual purity speaker. But when it comes down to it, that's not enough. That's not going to help them when they are in those hard life struggles, when the rubber meets the road and they have to make their decisions. So sexual discipleship, this is what Julie says. I just want to quote two sentences. She says, unlike education, discipleship never ends. It isn't segmented to a certain time of the week or a specific area of pain. Instead of telling you what to think, it trains you how to think. It doesn't solve your problems, but forges your character. And that's what we want to do. And that's why parents are the most important. Because they're the ones that birthed them, raised them, love them more than anybody else, know them probably better than anybody else. And so it's critical that we're weaving this in. How do we do that? Like, okay, Abby, practically, how do we do that? Well, like I said earlier, the first thing is know what you believe personally. So if you and your spouse, or if you're single, you and a confidant you have that you turn to when you have parenting issues, sit down and decide, what do I believe? How am I going to articulate that? Get a resource in there, if it's mine or somebody else's, that can support that. But two, pray for your kid. The older they get, the more time you need to spend on your knees, because they're making more and more of their own decisions. So praying for them, praying that they would come to the end of themselves, praying that they would get caught if they do wrong, so they start to understand the importance of authority, praying that they would be protected and sheltered. I remember my parents prayed that for me so much, mm-hmm. that I would be invisible. And finally, I think I was 31 or so, and I'm like, okay, stop. stop. I'm kind of joking, tongue in cheek, but praying that garrison of protection, you know, that guard, that shield around your child every day for them, praying that. But also talking early and often to your kid. So if you have a child under 10, be talking about this. There's great resources. One called God's Design for Sex by Stan Jones. And it's picture books that you can use with your kids. Because if you can create a culture where your kid knows you talk about sex, when they're little, they're going to be like, oh, okay, let's talk about sex. And then they'll want to go play Legos. You know, it's just like, no big deal. So if you're drip feeding this when they're young, by the time they become in their crazy, awkward, you know, white waters of the teenage years, they'll be like, oh, yeah, that's my parents. They do that kind of stuff.
Mm.
But I also want to take you to Deuteronomy 6. And if you look at Deuteronomy 6, it really lays out his command for us. And that is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. So first and foremost, scripturally, we see you need to love the Lord your God, modeling this. It's amazing how it's less about what we say and more about what we do. So if you're not married, I hope you're not bringing people home to sleep with, because that is modeling the exact opposite to your kid. And if you are married, I really hope that you're having sex. Because isn't that the enemy? Right? That's the enemy. When you're not married, he wants to get you to have sex. And when you do get married, he's going to try to get you to not have sex.
Huh?
Right? And I know I might be stepping on toes, but go to like a weekend to remember by Dennis and Barbara Rainey. Get away. If you are not connected, your household is not going to be connected.
Mm, so true. And you want your kids to see that you are in a loving and strong relationship.
That's right. And it's not all sexual, but that is an element to it. Sure. And so you, first and foremost. Secondly, sharing that with your kids. We see here, when you get up, when you lay down, when you're walking on the street, anytime, you're looking for opportunities. Now, not like a crazy sex person that's like always talking about it, but like looking for those ripe, perfect moments, those teachable moments.
Abby, we have a caller who called in, and I think you are going to be so great at answering this question. So a female has called in. She wants to remain anonymous, but she says, I'm a widow. I'm planning to remarry. How do I maintain my purity during this time? And also, I have a single 36-year-old son who is still a virgin, but he does have a girlfriend. How do I encourage him?
Mm.
Two questions for you.
Well, I would say first to her, thank you for being like that honest about yourself and where you're at. I think to help your son, just like I said a couple minutes ago, it's your life choices too. If you're able to show him, you know what, I'm not married. Your father is gone. I am not married again, so I will wait. I think that is powerful. I think if you have a strong relationship with your son, to be open, even to be able to say, God, this is hard for me. How are you doing with this? You know, in offering times to get together with them if they want to have distractions and things to do. That really helped me was to, you know, get my now husband to know my family and to spend time. He felt like I had 50 sets of parents because so many people cared so much about me that he had to make it through all of those. So getting this woman that he's dating more involved in his family life, I think that would help all of them.
Sure.
And to remind him that he is the head and he is the leader of this relationship. And where he steers the ship, there will it go. And so as a man, he has a little bit more responsibility, and to encourage him that doing this outside of marriage will not bring benefits. Temporary, but not long lasting.
Mm-hmm.
And to her, man, I'm not widowed and single, but I was single till I was 35. And the thing that helped me the most outside of my relationship with Christ and the great cheerleaders I had was to remember that sexuality is more than just the physical, that it's not just act of intercourse, that sexuality is really a pointer to intimacy. And we can get intimacy when we're single. We can get intimacy when we're widowed or when we're married, because true intimacy is knowing and being known. It's not just physical, but it's feeling vulnerable and accepted and loved for all of who you are. And then the sexual piece is only an expression of that. It isn't the only way to get that satisfaction. So I had a lot of close relationship, a lot of great girlfriends. I'd encourage you not to have two deeply tied emotional relationships with men. I mean, that'll create its own can of worms. But having people, community, church, small groups, I mean, that can satisfy us because we are more than our physical.
Mm. Well, I hope that was really helpful. Abby, thanks so much for just those honest answers. And I'm really grateful to just have her expertise here today. You know, we only have a minute left, but I want to make sure that you get an opportunity to talk about your new resource as well.
Oh, yes. Yep.
And then we can direct people to your website.
Okay. Yes, I meant to mention that I'm a contributing author to Dr. Julie Slattery's next Bible study, and it's called Sex and the Single Girl. And having been single for a long time, I was able to speak into that along with another co-author, Chelsea. And we were able to share with these girls God's design for you. just like this widow was talking, we are sexual by nature. God designed this, but it doesn't mean that we can't be sexual when we're single.
So if you're listening and you're a single girl and you'd like to get your hands on that resource, please give us a call. The phone lines are still open for about another minute, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, I just want to thank Abby Ludvigsen for a great hour, for an honest conversation about sexual purity. To learn more about Abby, you can go to our website at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much, Abby.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Have a great day. You've been listening to Connecting Faith.
Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.